Hi everyone, today's parak of Rambam is the first chapter of Hilchos Trumos. In this parak, the Rambam will detail some of the basic obligations regarding giving Trumos and Maaseros, as well as some basic definitions relating to which lands are obligated in Trumos Maaseros on a biblical level, on a rabbinic level, and which lands are not obligated at all. Halacha Aleph. HaTrumos VaMaaseros Eino Nohagin Min HaTorah El Be'eretz Yisrael, Bein B'fnei Abayis, Bein Shelo B'fnei Abayis. On a biblical level, Trumos and Maaseros, various tithes we will discuss, only apply in the land of Israel, whether the Beis HaMikdash is standing or not. Unavim hiskinu shiyu nohagos afilu be'eretz shinar, v'mnei shiyu smucha le'eretz Yisrael, v'rov Yisrael hochem v'shaven sham. However, the prophets, the Nevi'im, had instituted that Trumos and Maaseros should apply as well in the land of Babel, Babylon, because it is close to the land of Israel, and since it was an enormous Torah center, a center of Jewish life, and Jews went back and forth between the land of Israel and Babel, it would also have these laws. At a later stage of history, v'hachamim harishonim eskinu, sheyu nohagos af the eretz Mitzrayim, u'be'eretz Amon, u'moav, v'bnei sheim svivos eretz Yisrael. The early sages, though later than the prophets, had instituted that Trumos Maaseros should apply as well in the land of Egypt and in the lands of Amon and Moab, because these lands are very close to, even closer than Babel is, the land of Israel. Halacha Beis. Eretz Yisrael hamur b'chol makom, hi ba'artzos shekivshan melech Yisrael unnavi midas rov Yisrael, zeo nikra kibush rabim. When we refer to the land of Israel, what's the definition of that entity? It refers to lands that have been conquered by a king of the Bnei Yisrael, or by a prophet, with the consent of most of the Jewish people. And that's referred to as conquest of the community. Kibush Rabim. Aval yachan mi Yisrael, o mishpacha, o shevet, shehochu v'kavshu la'atzman makom, afilu min ha'aretz shenin la'avrum, eino nikra eretz Yisrael, kadei shenhagu bo kol ha'mitzvos. However, in contrast, if an individual member of Klal Yisrael, or a particular family, or even one of the tribes, one of the Shvatim, had gone ahead and conquered for themselves a place outside of Eretz Yisrael, or even within the confines of the defined lands which had been given to Avram Avinu in the vision Hashem had showed him, it will still not qualify as the land of Israel in order to have it have all the mitzvot apply. Accordingly, that was why Yoshua and his rabbinic court had divided up the land of Israel to all the various tribes, even though it hadn't yet been conquered, in order so that when each one of those tribes would go and conquer its own portion, it wouldn't count as if they had done so on their own, but rather would count as it was done with the consent of the entire nation and by the king slash prophet, and therefore it would count as the land of Israel. Halacha Gimel. Haratzos shekavash David chutz l'eretz Kanaan, kagon Aram Naharayim, v'Aram Tzova, v'Achlav, u'kiyotzi behed. Afal pi shemelech Yisrael hu, v'al pi beis anan gadol hu oseh, eino k'eretz Yisrael l'chol davar, v'lo k'chutz l'aretz l'chol davar, kagon Babel Mitzrayim. El yotu mechlal chutz l'aretz v'yosun k'eretz Yisrael lo higiyu. The land that David HaMelech had conquered outside of the land of Canaan, for example, Aram Naharayim, Aram Tzova, Achlav, and places like those, even though David was the king of the Bnei Yisrael, and he was acting with the full consent of the highest rabbinic court, nonetheless, these lands won't qualify as the land of Israel for all matters. On the other hand, they're also not like the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael, like Babel or Mitzrayim, for all matters. Rather, they're somewhat in between. They've left the category of the diaspora, of outside the land of Israel, but they haven't quite entered into the category of the land of Israel. It would name Ma Yardu Malas Eretz Yisrael. Now, for what reason are they any less than the land of Israel? Haven't they been conquered by a king of Israel with the consent of the Jewish people? The Rambam explains. Mibnei shekavash osam kodem sheichvosh kol Eretz Yisrael, el nishar ba mishiva amim. It's because David had conquered them before he had conquered all of the land of Israel. There were still members of the initial seven nations of Canaan that were present. V'ilu tavas kol Eretz Canaan l'gulo sehal, v'ahar kach kavash aretzos achiros, ha'yivusho kulo k'Eretz Yisrael l'chol davar. Had he first conquered all the land of Israel and followed through on establishing it according to all of its boundaries, and only afterwards had gone and conquered these lands outside of the initial land of Canaan, then they would have counted as the land of Israel for all matters. So these lands, which David had conquered, this middle category, are referred to as Syria, Soria. Halacha Dalet. Soria, yesh dvarim shehi behen k'eretz Yisrael, v'yesh dvarim shehi behen k'chutz l'aretz. With regards to this place, Soria, there are some matters in which it's considered like the land of Israel, and there are some matters in which it's considered like outside of Eretz Yisrael, as was alluded to before. V'akone b'karka k'kone b'eretz Yisrael, the inyan shemus v'maisos shvias. If one purchases land in the lands of Soria, then it says if one has purchased in the land of Israel, with regards to having to abide by the rules of Trumos and Maestros, as well as Shemitah. V'akol b'Soria v'divrei sofer. Everything that applies in Soria, though, are only rabbinic in nature. Halacha hei. Kol shechziku olim etzrayim, v'nes kadish kedusha rishona, kevan shegalu batla kedushasa. Anything which the Jews coming out of Egypt had taken possession of, and had thus sanctified it, once they were exiled, those places lost their sanctity. Because that first sanctification of the land, because it was done through conquering alone, it was only sanctified for its time, and it was not sanctified forever, for all time. Once those who had left the exile in Bavel had ascended to the land of Israel and had taken it over by demonstration of ownership, once they did so in part of the land, they had sanctified it with a second round of sanctification. This one lasts forever, for its time as well as for all time. Now, because the Oli Bavel hadn't acquired all of the land that the Oli Mitzrayim had, what's the status of those originally sanctified but then desanctified lands? Chazal had left those places that had been initially conquered by those ascending from Egypt, but hadn't been retaken by those ascending from Babel, as they were, and they did not exempt them from the various tithes of Truma and Miser, in order so that the poor people of Eretz Yisrael would be able to rely on them in the year of Shemitah. Rabbeinu HaKadosh Hitter Beis Shan Me'osam Mekomot Shelo Ziku Behen Olei Bava. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi had permitted the place of Beis Shan from those places which the Jewish people who had come up from Babel had not taken hold of. V'hu Nimna Al Ashkelon U'patra Min HaMasros. And with regards to the place of Ashkelon as well, he and his rabbinic court had decided that it should be exempted from Miser as well. Halacha Vav. What emerges then, to summarize, is that the entire world is divided with regards to mitzvos which depend on the land of Israel into three distinct categorizations. Eretz Yisrael, v'Soria, v'Chutz L'Aretz, the land of Israel proper itself, as well as Soria, as well as land outside of the land of Israel. Eretz Yisrael nechalkes l'shnai, going back to the first categorization, the land of Israel, it itself is divided into two. Anything which was taken by those that had come up from Babel is one portion, and anything which hadn't been retaken by them, but had only been taken by those ascending from Egypt, is a second portion. Also, the land outside of Israel is divided into two. Eretz Mitzrayim, v'shinar, v'amun u'moav, ha-mitzvos nahagas behem midivrei sofer midivim, u'shar atzos, ancher v'smaisos nahagas behem. Outside of the land of Israel, we have some lands like Mitzrayim, Shinar, Ammon, Moab, as were noted before. They have Trumos and Maestros applied to them, as well as other mitzvos of the land, on a rabbinic level and from the prophets. And all other lands, United States of America, anywhere outside of these few nearby regions, they don't have these mitzvos apply at all. Halacha Zayin. Ezu hi eretz yechziku ba'oli Mitzrayim. Now the Rambam is going to go and define for us what was the boundaries that had been taken by the Jews who had come up from Egypt. Mirekim, Shuba Mizrach, Eretz Yisrael, Adayam HaGadol. From the east to the west, the place of Rekem, which is all the way in the east, until the Mediterranean Sea. Me Ashkelon, Shila Drom, Eretz Yisrael, Ad Akko, Shiba Tzavon. From the south to the north, the city of Ashkelon, all the way in the south, up to Akko, which is all the way in the north. Ha-Mahalech Me Akko L'Chaziv, Kol Eretz Al Yimino, Shu Mizrach HaDerech, Harihi Bechezkas Chutz L'Oretz, Utmea, Mishum Eretz Amim, Uptur Min HaMizr Min HaShviyas, Ashivad Al-Lachash, Oso Makom Eretz Yisrael. V'chol ha'aretz she'al smolo, shumar v'haderech, harihi b'cheskas eretz Yisrael, u'tahora b'shem eretz ha'am, v'chayeves b'maiser u'shvies, ashivad l'cha she'osu makam chutz la'aretz. Now, there is a strip all the way up north. It's not a complete square, which plays by a little bit of different rules. If one goes from the city of Akko, in the north, to the city of Kziv, the area to his right, when he's walking in that direction, i.e., that which is on the east, can be considered land outside of the land of Israel. And thus, it is going to have the unique impurity that we will discuss later, land that belongs to other nations. In addition, it's going to be exempt from all the various mitzvot of Trumas Maisros and of Shemitah, unless one knows for a fact that that land was part of Eretz Yisrael. The default is that it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. As opposed to the area on one's left, i.e. to the west, that can be assumed as the default to be part of the land of Israel, and thus it's going to be pure from the Tumma of Eretz Ha'amim, and is assumed to have as an obligation all the mitzvos hatlios v'aretz, trumos, maizros, shvias, until one knows for a fact that that is an area outside of the land of Israel. V'chol she'shofea b'yori mituri amanon v'lefnim eretz ha'amim, mituri amanon v'lachot, chot l'aretz. Now, with regard to the area which slopes down from a certain set of mountain range referred to as Amanon, everywhere which slopes downward and inward is going to count as the land of Israel. If it slopes downward and outward, then it's going to be outside the land of Israel. Vanisim Shabiyam, with regards to islands that are in the Mediterranean Sea, Ronasam Kiilu Chot Matuach Alehem Mitori Amanon Ad Nacha Mitzrayim Minachot B'lefnim Eretz Yisrael Minachot B'lachot Chutz La'aretz. Then, regarding the islands that are in the close part, if they were to exist, of the shoreline of the land of Israel, we would go from Turi Amnon, this mountain range, all the way up north, and draw an imaginary line straight down until the Nachal Mitzrayim, whichever river that exactly refers to, and then anything which would be on the eastern side of that, closer to the shoreline of the land of Israel, would count as the land of Israel. Anywhere beyond that, outside of that, into the Mediterranean, would count as outside of the land of Israel. Vezuhi Tzurasa. And then the Rambam draws some sort of picture that would look like that. I obviously cannot do that, but you can imagine a line being drawn from one point up north, down south, and everywhere to the right of it, to the east of it, would include islands that would count for the land of Israel. Anywhere on the left of it, the west of it, would count as outside. Halacha Ches. Meheichan Echziku Olei Bavel. Which areas had been resettled by those going up from Bevel? Mechziv Velepnim Kenegan Mizrach. From this place called Kziv, mentioned above, and inward towards the land of Israel, going from the east. Mechziv lachutz ad Amana, v'hi Amanos v'ad Nar hu Nachal Mitzrayim lo echziku bo. However, from Kziv and outward until this place of Amana or Amanon, and down until the Nachal of Mitzrayim, that they hadn't resettled. Mechziv atzma lo echziku bo. As for this place of Kziv itself, they also didn't take possession of that either. Halachates, ezuhi Surya. What qualifies as Surya? Me'eretz Yisrael ulamata k'neged Aram Naharaim v'Aram Tzova kol yad paras ad Babel k'kon damesek v'achla v'charon u'migvas v'kiyot v'hen ad Shinar v'tzohar harhi k'Surya. From the land of Israel and below it, opposite Aram Naharaim and Aram Tzova, that entire area of the Euphrates River until one reaches Babel, such as Damascus and Achlov, Haran, Migvas, and other places like that, until one actually reaches Babel and Tzahar. That all counts as Surya. Aval Akko chutz la'aretz ka'ashkelon v'heim tchumei Eretz Yisrael. However, Akko itself is considered outside of the land of Israel, just like Ashkelon is. These are the borders of the land of Israel. Halacha Yud. Obi kochavim shekana karka v'Eretz Yisrael lo hefkiua min ha'mitzvos. If a non-Jew purchases land in the land of Israel, he hasn't undermined its status of being sanctified. Rather, it still is going to have the mitzvahs applied due to its already existent sanctification. Accordingly, if a Jew buys back from this non-Jew, it's not like he's conquered it as an individual, as was alluded to above. No, this is already sanctified by the public. and therefore he must take off Trumos and Maestros and bring Bikurim from produce growing in that land. And this is all true on a biblical level, as if this had not been sold to the non-Jew at all. However, with regards to the purchase of a non-Jew of land in the lands of Syria, that does have the capacity to undermine its status of producing Meiser or having the rules of Shvius apply to it, as will be explained in forthcoming Brachim. Halacha Yud Aleph. Peiros Ovi Kochavim Shegalu B'Karka Shekana B'Eretz Yisrael. The produce of a non-Jew which had grown in the land that he had purchased in the land of Israel, Im Nigra Melachtam B'Yad Ovi Kochavim, U'Merachan Ovi Kochavim, Tur Miklum, Shneimar Degan Cha, Lo Degan Ovi Kochavim. If they had been completed entirely, the work that was necessary for them had been done while they were still in the hands of the non-Jew, and he had straightened out the grain heap, which was the finishing process of working the grain, then in that case, it's exempt from all obligations. As the Pasuk says, it must be your grain and not the grain of a non-Jew. If a Jew had purchased this grain after they had already been picked, but before they had their work completed, and the Jew then completed their work, in that case, they're liable for all the various halachos of things that had grown in the land of Israel on a biblical level. And therefore he has to take off Truma Gdola and give it a Kohen, and then he takes off Trumas Meiser and he sells that to a Kohen. As for the Meiser Rishon, he's able to keep that. The reason why he's able to sell the Trumas Meiser to the Kohen and why he's able to keep the Meiser Rishon is because he can say to the Kohen and Levi respectively that the reason why these are mine is because I am coming from the power of one who you would not have been able to take anything from him. But hold on, if he's got to give Truma Gedola, the first Truma, either way to the Kohen, why doesn't he also have to give Trumas Meiser? The Rambam explains, the Fisha Nem of Trumas Meiser, Kise Chume Eis B'nei Yisrael Asa Meiser, Tevash Ata Lugeach M'nei Yisrael Ata Ma'afresh Menu Trumas Meiser V'nosin L'Kohen, Aval Tevash Ata Lugeach M'nei Ovi K'chavim, and Ata Nosin L'Kohen, Trumas Meiser Shehefresh Menu, El Mocher L'Kohen Lugeach Demel. That's because there's a special drasha. The Pasuk states, with regards to Trumas Meiser, that when you purchase from the B'nei Yisrael Meiser, it's referring specifically to untithed produce, which you purchase from a Jew. That's where you must separate Trumas Meiser from it and give it to the Kohen. However, untithed produce that you purchase from a non-Jew, that you are not obligated to give to the Kohen, the Trumas Meiser, that you had separated from it. Rather, you can sell it to him and then keep its value. Halacha Yud Beis. Malchar Obe Kachavim HaPero Shalo Yisrael Kishayim Uchubar Mekarka. If the non-Jew had sold the fruit to the Jew while they were still attached to the ground, Im Achlo Bola Unas HaMeisros V'nigur Yad Yisrael Chayavim Bekol V'nosin HaTrumos HaMeisros L'Bailam. If they had been sold before they had reached the point where one would be obligated to take off the tithes, and then the Jew was the one who had completed the work that was necessary for them, in that case, he's obligated in everything. He has to give Trumas and Maestros to the respective owners as is appropriate. However, if he had only purchased them from the non-Jew after they had reached the stage where they could hypothetically be obligated in Meiser, in that case, he takes off Trumas Meiser and Meiser, and he gives from those to the owners in accordance with a certain calculation. Kate Zad, I'm going to illustrate what this means. If somebody had purchased grain that had already been planted by a non-Jew, and it had already reached the stage of a third of its development, but then a Jew was the one, after having purchased it, who had completed its work, in that case, Mafresh Trumos and Maestros, Kemosh Biarnu, he separates Truma and Meiser, as Ram has explained, and then in that circumstance, he gives two-thirds of the Meiser to the Levi, and two-thirds of the Trumas Meiser to the Kohen, for free, as he's obligated to in a normal case, and then as for the remaining third, that he is able to sell to the Kohen and the Levi, as had been described before. Halacha Yud Gimel. If a Jew had sold his produce to a non-Jew, the other way around now, before they had reached the stage where they would be obligated in tithes, and then the non-Jew had completed their work, in that case, they are exempt from Truma and Meiser. If, however, the Jew had sold it to a non-Jew after this produce had reached the stage of tithes, even though it was the non-Jew who had completed their work, nonetheless, on a rabbinic level, they'll be obligated in truma and meiser. And so too, if a non-Jew is the one who completes the work of the produce of a Jew. Ultimately, since this final stage of them becoming worked grain was done by a non-Jew, they're not biblically obligated in truma and meiser. However, on a rabbinic level, they are obligated. Halacha Yud Dalet. Malchar Ovi Kacham Yisrael, Peros Mechubarin, Achar Shevol Onas Maestros, Omerachan Ovi Kacham Birshus Yisrael, Enachayim Mechumos Maestros. If a non-Jew had sold produce to a Jew while they were still attached to the ground, and after they had reached the stage where they'd be obligated in Trumos Maestros, and the non-Jew was the one who had finished their production while it was now owned by the Jew, in that case, they're not obligated in Trumos Maestros. Why? Hol Bol Onas Maestros Birshus Ovi Kacham, Omerachan Ovi Kacham, since they had reached the stage of being obligated in Trumos Maestros in the possession of the non-Jew, and though he's sold it to the Jew now, since it was also completed by the non-Jew, in that case, it is something which is not going to, even on a rabbinic level, be obligated in Trumos Maestros. Halacha Tezvav. Hakona Sadev Asuria. Chai b'Trumos Maestros Medevrayim, Kemoshi is Chai b'Nat Torah, Hakona b'Yerushalayim, Kemoshi b'Yarno. If somebody purchases a field in the land of Soria, he's obligated in Trumos Maestros on a rabbinic level, just as he would be obligated on a Torah level if he had purchased land in Yerushalayim, for example, as the Ram has already explained. However, if one had purchased produce from a non-Jew in the land of Soria, whether they're attached or detached to the ground, even if it's before they had reached the stage where they would have been obligated in Trumos Maestros, and thus, imagine if they were attached to the ground and the Jew had purchased them before they had reached that critical stage, so then seemingly everything's happening in the Jew's possession. Nonetheless, even if you then have the Jew go and complete the work to them, since it wasn't from his land, then it is going to be exempt from Trumos Maestros. Halacha Tes Zayin. Kana Karkam Ono Bichavim Besuria, Uperos Mechubarin Ba. Im Higiu Lonas Maestros Biado Bichavim Peturin. If one purchases land from a non-Jew in the land of Soria, and the produce is still attached to the ground, if they've reached the stage of being obligated in Maestros while in the possession of the non-Jew, so then they're going to be exempt from Trumos Maestros. If, however, they hadn't yet reached the stage of being obligated in Trumos Maestros, since in this case he's purchased along with the produce the land itself, in such a case, the Jew would be obligated to take off Trumos Maestros. Halacha Yud Zayin. If a Jew is working as a sharecropper for a non-Jew in the land of Syria, at which point he'll be paid his wages as a percentage of the fruit which is produced, in that case, he's going to be exempt from Trumos Maestros because he doesn't actually own anything in the ground itself. And the non-Jew has the ability to acquire land in Soria in order to make it be exempt from Trumos Maestros, as Ram has already explained. And the same applies as well with various other types of sharecroppers, slightly different arrangements made, or if one rents a field from a non-Jew in Soria. In all these circumstances, since he doesn't actually own anything in the ground itself, he's going to be exempt from Trumos and Maestros. Halacha Yud Ches. If a Jew had purchased land in Soria from a non-Jew before the produce on the land had reached a third of their development, and then it reached a third of its development, and then this Jew had resold it to a non-Jew, in that case, if a Jew goes back and buys it from this second non-Jew, in total, a second time being purchased by a Jew, in that case, will be obligated in Trumos Maestros since it had crossed into that critical point of being obligated in Trumos Maestros when it was in the possession of a Jew. Halacha Yud Tes. Yisrael shahaya lo karka v'suria, v'horer la'aris, v'shalach lo aris peros, harilu p'turin, shani omer, minashok l'kachan. If a Jew owned land in Syria, and he sent a sharecropper to go and take care of the field, and the sharecropper then sent him in return produce, some of which he was going to keep himself, and some of which he sent now back to the actual owner of the field. In that case, that produce which this Jew receives in the land of Israel is exempt from Trumas Maestros, because we can assume that maybe the sharecropper had simply purchased the produce that he's giving him from the market. Fushio, so I'm in Mazur Bishuk. This is assuming that that's a logical assumption, that this particular type of species is something which is easily found in the marketplace. Halachacha. If one has a partnership with a non-Jew, the produce will still be obligated in Trumas Maestros. Ketzad, I'm going to illustrate this. If a Jew and a non-Jew had purchased a field together as a partnership, even if they split the field while it has its standing grain, and it goes without saying, if they had divided it after it had already been collected in a grain heap, there's a mixture of tithe and untithe produce in each and every stalk from the portion of the non-Jew. Even though the non-Jew had been the one to actually do the final completing work. And therefore, there's an obligation on a rabbinic level to have Trumas Maestros separated, as the Ram has already explained. What is that true? That applies in the land of Israel itself, where Meiser is biblical in nature, and when we're dealing with something biblical, there's no concept of Breira, which is retroactive clarification of how things always had been. Once it's split, we are not able to say Breira. We are not able to say that it's always been as if this was the non-Jew's portion, and this was the Jew's portion, and therefore the non-Jews shouldn't have an obligation to have Trumas Meiser. Av im lachu sada v'suria. If, however, we were dealing with a case where a Jew and a non-Jew had purchased a field together in Surya, since Trumas Maestros there are only rabbinic in nature, then even if they split the field once all the produce had already been piled up in this grain heap, then the portion of the non-Jew is going to be exempt from having to take off Trumas Maestros because of the fact that we'll apply the rule of Breira. We say retroactively this has always been known to have been the non-Jews. Produce of the land of Israel that left the land of Israel, went out to the diaspora, is exempt from various tithes, from challah, from trumos, and maestros. As the pasuk says, that land that I am bringing you to there, in that land, you will be obligated to separate Trumas and Maestros. Outside of that land, though, you will not be obligated in Trumas and Maestros. Im yatzu the Surya, chayvim d'vrayim. If they leave from the land of Israel to the land of Surya, they'll still be obligated on a rabbinic level. V'chein peros chutzlar, sh'nechnesu la'aretz, chayvim b'chala, sh'nemar, shama. Shama ata chayavim, b'im peros ha'aretz, b'im peros chutzlaretz. Similarly, with regards to produce that's taken from outside the land of Israel, that's brought into the land of Israel, it will be obligated with regards to challah. The pasuk says, there, when you're going to there, specifically there, in the land of Israel, you'll be obligated no matter what. It doesn't matter where the produce had come from, whether it was produce from the land of Israel, or it was produce that was from outside the land of Israel. And if this produce only reaches the stage where it'll be obligated in Trumas and Maestros, it's been finished when it's owned by a Jew, and again, after they've entered into the land of Israel, in that case, they'll also be obligated in Meiser on a rabbinic level. If there's dirt brought from outside of the land of Israel on a boat into the land of Israel, in a time when the boat is dragging along the earth, the seabed, in that case, anything which grows in the dirt that's on the boat will be obligated in Trumas and Maestros and Shemitah, just like something which had grown in the land of Israel itself. Lachav Dalet. Ilan she'omein b'chutz l'aretz, v'nofo noto l'aretz. Omein b'aretz, nofo noto l'chutz l'aretz. If you have a tree which is planted in either the land of Israel or outside of the land of Israel, but its branches, its leaves, are overhanging into the other domain, so if it was planted in the land of Israel, it's overhanging into the land outside of the land of Israel. And if it was planted outside of the land of Israel, it's overhanging into the land of Israel. What's the status in that case? Hakol holich achar eker. Everything depends on where the roots are. if you have a split. Part of its roots are in the land of Israel, part of them are out. Even if between those two halves of the roots there's some very strong rock splitting between them, nonetheless, of the produce, it's all considered to be mixed with untithed and fundamentally mundane produce, and therefore one would have to separate before eating of it. If there's a pot which has a hole on the bottom, it's perforated, and it has some plant within this pot, but the plant hasn't yet taken root, and its roots are in the land of Israel, and its overhanging branches and leaves are in the land outside of the land of Israel. In that case, we follow after where the leaves and branches go. Halacha Chav Vav, the final halacha in the parak. Hatruma bezman hazeh, v'afilu b'makum shechziku oli bava, v'afilu b'mei Ezra, eina min haTorah el midvarayim. And a very important caveat now, truma nowadays, even in a place which had been retaken by those coming back from Babel, even in the days of Ezra, are not going to have an obligation to have truma on a biblical level. It's only rabbinic in nature. She'en lecha truma shel Torah el be'eretz Yisrael bilvad, bezman shekol Yisrael sham. Because truma only applies on a biblical level when it's in the land of Israel and in a time when the Jewish people are there. Sh'ne'emar, as the Pasuk says, ki savo bi'as kulchem kishahayu birusha rishona u'kamo she'en asidim la'achzor birusha shlishas. When you come, referring to entire Klal Yisrael, that means when you're all there, such as was in the first time they entered the land in the days of Yoshua, and as God willing will one day be when they re-enter the land in the third coming. This is in contrast to when they had inherited the land the second time in the days of Ezra, which only included a small minority of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, there's no obligation in Truma on a biblical level. The Rambam then notes that it appears to him as well the same halacha applies with regards to Maisra. Just as Truma is only rabbinic in nature nowadays, Maisros also are only rabbinic in nature. Have a wonderful day.